Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. 1 John chapter 2 says, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." For believers, loving God and the world at the same time is impossible. Today, the great divide we all face as the media and the internet call each of us to impurity. Whom are we going to love? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk about loving the world, loving God.
This happens to be the third message in a series titled Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. One of the things that we've learned so far is that technology is not neutral. The media is not neutral. It comes with a bias against holy living. Someone has written these words, "Technology has developed a dynamic of its own and passed out of human control." Neil Postman says, "Technology has displaced traditional culture to our great harm." And it's true, isn't it? We are obsessed with technology. During the Christmas season, what is it that is purchased the most? It is updates on technology. Now, this was back in 2008. Teenagers averaged 2,272 text messages a month, which averages out to about 80 text messages a day. Psychologists and doctors say that it is the leading cause of anxiety, distraction, failing grades, repetitive stress injury, and sleep deprivation. 37% of our teenagers say that they have sent sexually suggestive messages in some form of the social network, and half, more than half, say they have no rules for how they use, you know, the internet, iPads, iPhones, and all the other technology that is out there. Now, in the midst of this, the Bible says this, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to 1 John chapter 2, because we're going to be there in just a moment. 1 John chapter 2, it says in verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world." I need to stop right there and ask you a question. How do we reconcile the fact that the Bible says we're not to love the world with the fact of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world"? Well, the enigma is not hard to unravel. Sometimes the word "world" refers to people, and that's, of course, what John 3:16 is all about. "For God so loved the world of people," and we're to love the world of people, but we're not to love the world system, which the Bible says is in the hands of the evil one. And technology and the media, in ways that have never been true throughout history, have presented these values to us: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, such as even video games. And I don't have time to discuss that today, but we'll probably comment on that in more detail in a future message. There it is, technology. Throughout 2,000 years of church history, the church has debated as to how to relate to this world. Of course, the world in which they were discussing this was entirely different from ours. But there were those who said that the answer is separation, and monasteries came about as a result. What you do is you separate from the world. Let me tell you about a family that Rebecca and I know very well. In fact, we know them so well that whenever they travel through Chicago, the children stay with us. And I'm going to call these children kids, even though they're in their late teens and 20s. At my age, I think I have the right to call them kids. And they were in our home again before Christmas, and then before that in the fall. And they come through and they stay with us, and we love to be with them. But I want you to understand who they are. They belong to a specific denomination, which I will not mention because not all people who belong to this denomination agree with this lifestyle. But they are growing up in homes and in a church where there is no internet. You can have a cell phone, but it can't be an iPhone. You can't access the internet with it. No radio, no television. If you ask them, how do you know what's going on in the world? They say, well, sometimes we're in town and we read the headlines of the newspaper, or maybe neighbors tell us. Now, I want you to put your mind around this. Here are two children in our home, and sometimes there have been more than that. And these kids, in their 20s, have never heard of Lady Gaga. They have no idea who J-Lo was or is. They're not concerned about whether or not Brad and Angela get married. It's never occurred to them. As a matter of fact, if we had mentioned to them and said, now tell us what you know about MTV, I'm convinced they'd have said that it is a certain chemical farmers use to kill weeds. They've never heard of this. They have been totally isolated from pop culture, completely, knowing nothing of this. So what are these kids like? Well, for one thing, they want to sit down and they want to talk to you. They look you in the eye. We had wonderful conversations about God. They'll tell you where they are in their Bible reading, and they'll catch you up to date on their families and all of those other things. And I venture to say that none of them probably have eating disorders. Because, you know, the whole idea that somehow your body has to fit a certain shape, and if it doesn't, you are devalued and nobody will look at you, that has never occurred to them. They have never heard of Britney Spears. And so as a result, they are unaffected by it, and we just had such a delightful time with them. And of course, they're modestly dressed, because the whole idea of modern culture with the dresses that young people wear today and all that, they don't have any of that. Now you say, well, we can't do that. We can't isolate ourselves like that. I mean, clearly they are divorced from culture. They have no idea what's going on. They have no input into culture. And on we could go to give reasons why we don't want to go there. After all, what about the socialization process? How do they socialize if they don't know anything about pop culture? And so I understand that we don't want to go there. But you know, they don't have it all wrong. Just 2 days ago, yes, 2 days ago, I heard about a man in a church, not this church, though I'm sure it's happened at Moody Church, and may even be happening now. I heard about a man who connected with a woman online and got an online romance going, and then when his wife discovered it, he did what most people in that situation do, confessed to only as much as he absolutely had to and hid the rest. And then months later, of course, it all crops up with all of its ugliness again because he left some roots in the ground. I'm sure that these young people have problems, because I know they do. They have a sinful nature. But probably if you're raised in a culture and in a church where there is no internet and there is no radio, probably those kinds of incidents do not happen because they can't happen. It's not all bad to be isolated like that. Well, you say, but Pastor Lutzer, we can't go there. That's just nothing but legalism. Okay, all right, I hear you. So let's go to the opposite extreme. This is what Stephen Gallagher says the average teenager encounters today, the average teenage boy. While waiting for his younger sister to get ready for school, he turns on MTV and catches some of the latest videos, most of them filled with plenty of innuendo and skin. Later that morning, he has health class. His teacher refuses to take a moral stand against premarital sex or even homosexuality. And a text message from a girl who thinks he's cute casually lets him know that her parents will not be home tomorrow night. While he walks down the hallway, he overhears the popular boys talking about the girls that they've hooked up with. On the way home from school, he stops at a friend's house to log in to social media, cruise the latest pics and posts from their friends, hoping that some of the girls they are looking to hook up with have responded. A few hours later, he's home in front of the TV where the characters of his favorite shows regularly engage in various sexual scenarios. When his sister isn't looking, he scans her stack of Cosmo Girl and 17 magazines, drinking in the seductive advertisements, and on it goes. And then Gallagher says, "Why are we surprised that we have so many sex addicts today?" So the question that we have to answer in the moments that we have left is this: what do we do if we are going to redeem the media for the glory of God? Now, I know, of course, as I mentioned last time, the internet is being used mightily to spread the gospel. I get that. But I'm talking about our individual, personal, private use of the media. What do we need to do? Now, what I'm going to share with you in this message is kind of hard stuff. And I've prayed that I would have the proper balance between being pastoral, which of course I always want to be, and putting it very clearly. And remember, whatever I say to you applies to me as well. What an agenda for the next few moments. You know, it was Tozer who said that men today think that the world, that is Christian men, is not a battleground but a playground. We're not here to fight, he says. We're here to frolic. We are not in a foreign land. We feel very much at home. What is there in the world that we haven't imbibed? We do feel at home. What's this business about being strangers and pilgrims and singing, "This world is not my home"? This world is our home. Name one thing that the world has and listens to and watches that we don't. And then it says, we are not getting ready to live, the average Christian thinks, but we're already living. The question is, how do we live it to the full? Well, my friend, you're going to have to tune in to Running to Win next time to find out all about that agenda. This is Pastor Lutzer. These messages are part of a larger series entitled Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. And I hope to speak very realistically to these issues and to face head-on the great challenge that we face, the challenge of sensuality and moral impurity that has polluted our culture and polluted our churches and our families. I hope that you pray for us. I hope that you also continue to listen. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Each comes with an assignment, by the way, because I'm serious about helping people as we struggle for purity. Now, for more information, go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. Thanks for joining us. God bless you.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Loving the World, Loving God. Another message on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Next time, finding a balance between technology's pluses and minuses. The need for us to guard our hearts has never been greater. This 6-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.